Blog Talk Radio.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Hey, 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 it's your girl Nina Capone. You already know it's In the Streets Radio, and we're about to get it popping tonight. If you haven't been on my In the Streets Radio page or my Nina Capone page on Facebook, of course, you'll know that tonight we have a special guest, Mr. Steve Bluestein, or Bluestein. I could be messing that up. I'm sure he will let me know. And he is the author. Well, previously he was a comedian. Well, he's still a comedian, and I'm going to let him get into this a lot more than I can give it to you like this. But I'm going to bring him on the line shortly. I'm going to give him a call, see if we can get this interview going. But just a little background. The name of his book, he's an author, and the name of his book is It's So Hard to Type with a Gun in My Mouth. Now, of course, you guys know I am that I'm curious. I'm like Curious George. And, of course, this just took me by surprise. Like, well, where did that come from? So I'm going to definitely go ahead and bring Steve on the line, and he's going to give you some background on that. And we're going to, if you want to ask questions, feel free to do so. Holler at me, 646-649-1047. It's your girl, Nina Capone, and I'm going to bring Steve on the line right now.
Hello.
Well, hello. Perfect.
How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm great. So good to speak with you. I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, and it's great to have you on In the Streets. Have you in the streets, and you're in Philly right now mainly.
Oh.
Most of our listeners here are Philadelphians.
Cool.
So this is going to be awesome. And I was trying to give them a little bit of background on you.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to jack it up because you're like a jack of all trades. So
yeah.
You can just give us a little bit of background. Let us know who you are, where you're from.
Well, let's see. I started doing stand-up in 1971 when there was only one comedy club in the United States.
Yeah.
And I then went on the road as a stand-up comedian, opening for the late Donna Summer and Barry Manilow and Melissa Manchester.
Wow.
And Celia and Frankie Valli. And I work mainly in Las Vegas and, you know, in, like, the large venues. And then those opening act spots kind of closed up, and they started using co-headliners, like Joan Rivers would work with the Smothers Brothers, and there'd be no opening act. So
right.
I then transitioned over into the comedy clubs where I came in as a headliner, and for about 15 or 20 years, I was a headliner on that circuit, working every comedy club in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, I then could no longer stand to be on the road, so I became a writer, and I wrote television. I wrote sitcoms for NBC and ABC and the Playboy Channel, and was a producer for Fox sitcoms. Not news.
Wow.
Not Fox News.
Not the news. You're not the bad guy.
Not the news. not those jerks, but for the sitcom. I wrote a sitcom for them.
Yeah.
And then I sort of started cutting back, and I decided that I would start writing what I wanted to write. And so I started writing plays, and I wrote 7 plays.
Wow.
And my final chapter being, I decided that I should write all my adventures down, and I wrote this book, It's So Hard to Type with a Gun in My Mouth.
Well,
so that's me.
I love it.
And then on Tuesday.
I'm like, I had so many questions like before, and it's so funny because the title itself is just a seller.
Here's how I got the title. I live in California in the hills. And I had moved into a house, and about 2 years later, remember when we had all those heavy, heavy rains in Los Angeles?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the lady who lives on the hill above me, her swimming pool gave way and sent 60,000 gallons of water down the hill into my house, and it destroyed my office, literally destroying every videotape, picture, review. It was like my career was wiped out.
Wow.
And I was extremely depressed. It destroyed two bedrooms and a bathroom and my office. And I was completely depressed. And my manager called, knowing that it was important to keep me busy. He said to me, "Steve, are you writing?" And I said, "Yes, I'm writing, but it's so hard to type with a gun in my mouth."
Oh, my goodness.
And he said to me, "And that's the title of your book." And that's where that came from.
And that's awesome. That's like, okay, that's a great, 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 great story. Wow. And, you know, people call, they've been contacting me and say, "Hey, Nina, who is this guy? What, where did he get this?" And I'm like, "You got to read it. Grab the book, give it a read, check it out." And
did you read it? Were you able to read any of it?
I got through my daughter. I have a 17-year-old who
fell
in love with the title, and I didn't get it back yet.
All right, does she like it?
She loves it. She's like, "Really? Mom," like, she's probably upstairs tuned in right now, if I'm not mistaken, because she's like, "Oh, you're going to interview her now." She was really, really excited. So,
well,
I feel,
you know,
that's good.
You know, being a stand-up comedian for all those years, I'm like used to standing on stage, saying a word, and then hearing the audience's reaction right away.
Right.
With the book, I put it on a paper, it gets published, the book goes to your house, you read it. I don't know if you're laughing or if you're, or you know, I don't know. I'm hearing 6 months later, and so I decided to set up a page on Facebook. There's a page on Facebook for "It's So Hard to Type with a Gun in My Mouth," and people have been writing their comments.
Yes.
About their experience with the book, and I, Nina, am blown away. The response is universal. People love this book. I don't understand it. You know, it's just my life.
But that's what makes it so unique. I mean, I actually went on and checked out the comments immediately once I got off the phone with you when we first spoke. And I was like, "Wow, this must be a really good book." And, you know, I put it on a website and I said, "Well, I want to, you know, get some more reviews from it." And the people who actually kind of started it already are like, "Yo, this is good." And it sounds like it's a good read. I can't wait to actually snatch my iPad back from my daughter and get into it.
Oh, that's great. That
I
makes
know it's
going
to be some time.
Do you know, it's like a Christmas present for me because, you know, most people, like in show business, they have like these huge egos and they're really, you know, "Hey, it's all about me." I'm not like that. I'm like the most insecure, self-deprecating person on the face of the earth. So if you tell me you like my book, I don't go, "Why, thank you very much." I go, "Really? You really liked it?" Like, I'm so surprised that anybody likes my book. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, to give you an idea why I'm like that, as I was writing this book, it started to become a very cathartic experience for me. And I tell everyone it's like an inventory in Alcoholics Anonymous. I just started putting everything down. And some of the things were family things that some of my family members were not happy to have made public. And they disowned me, you know. And my mother actually called me up and said, "Why did you write a book? No one cares about your life."
Which is in the first chapter. I did get that far.
Yeah. So I'm not lying. So when someone who doesn't know me or doesn't know my history and reads the book and just likes the book for the value of just reading a good book, it's like the best present I could have.
And just like as far as I got, and I did get all the details of the family and everything, and I was like, "Wow, they're going to kill him." I think that was really, it was really creative to actually incorporate that. I think all families, I'm actually working on a book myself secretly, and I'll never get done. And I'm like this thing, and I'm like, I have to withdraw, and I'm like, and when I read that first paragraph, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is what's going to happen to me as soon as I drop this book." I mean, it's going to be, my son's going to go crazy. So let me ask, do you have a specific writing style?
Well, you know, I write, because I was a stand-up, I write like I talk. So when you read the book, and what people are telling me, they're saying to me, "It's like you're right here in the room with me telling me the story." Mm-hmm. And so the style I didn't know I had a style. You know, that's how
right,
self-deprecating
right.
I am. I didn't know I had a style. But there is this comedy writer out here by the name of Rich Ross, and he fell in love with the book. Ross and I worked on a couple of television shows out here together. We became friends, and he then started posting on Facebook in my style. And
wow.
I wrote him and I said, it's unbelievable. I mean, you've really captured this style. And he said, that's because there is a definite style to the book. And it's easy to, you know, it's easy to copy.
Right, right. And it's an easy read. I mean, just for my daughter to grab it.
Thing.
She's like, Mom, you can just flow with it. And I can't wait to hear her real feedback on the book because it's really getting her to kind of like push through and read and, you know. You have to force kids nowadays. But with a title like that, you'll never have to force them.
Well, you know what's so wonderful? You know what's so wonderful? To hear that a 17-year-old loves it as much as the 50-year-olds. That,
right,
to me,
right.
is like the... I'm telling you, you're giving me Christmas presents here.
But well, that's awesome.
I had a woman in Japan contact me. Because, you know, with the internet now, everything is universal.
Yes.
And this woman in Japan wrote me, and she said, I read your book. I have never laughed so hard in my life. And I wrote her back and I said, do you mean to tell me that you understood the humor in my book in Japan? She said, absolutely. It's universal.
Wow.
She says, we're all the same. We all have the same concerns. She is now trying to translate it into Japanese for me.
Oh, nice, nice.
Isn't that great?
And that'd be awesome. Definitely. Wow. See how, and like you said, right now, everything is, with the internet, everything is universal, you know, and that's, you don't know who's going to hear this, and they're going to be like, wow, let me check him out. So it's going to be
well,
like.
Well, you know, I have people in England, in Australia, in Canada, Mexico, Nova Scotia, Japan, France, Italy. Italy. I got a letter from a guy in Milan telling me it's the funniest book he's ever read.
Wow.
And I said, he's a doctor. He's a liver transplant specialist. He called and said, I never loved a book so much ever. And I said, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You know, I couldn't believe it. You know, little old me wrote a book. Yeah.
Right. Well, you never know. You never underestimate yourself. Apparently, you are great at what you do.
Well, you know what? I ever since I was a child, I had this genetically engineered sense of humor. I got it from my father, and I just see the world a little differently than everybody else. And I see the humor in everything. For instance, when Sandy hit New York, I was watching the victims talking on the news, and I turned to a friend and I said, you know, when Katrina happened, those people sounded like victims. Oh, my God, we have no water. It's just horrible. I said, the people in New York, they all sound like perks. Hey, we got no water here. What the hell's going on? And I got hysterical because they didn't sound like victims.
Right, right. New Yorkers never do.
They sound like, you know, if I don't get electricity, I'm going to kill somebody.
Exactly. That's the tone of all New Yorkers.
Yeah,
shout
all
out to all my New Yorkers listening.
Yeah. And believe me, nobody loves New York more than I do. When I was raised in Boston, but I moved. I say when I graduated college, I threw my cap in the ground on the air. By the time it hit the ground, I was living in New York.
Wow.
The book is filled with New York stories.
Oh.
My heart is in New York, and it's where I was raised in Boston, but I grew up in New York, if you know
gotcha.
What I mean.
Exactly. And that's what I think my daughter likes. She loves New York. So I think I'm going to get that message out of her, too.
Oh, good. I would love to hear what she has to say,
oh,
too.
Definitely. I'll let her reach out to you so we can definitely, you know, you guys can go
all
ahead
right,
and
yeah,
go back
she can
and forth.
Email me.
Definitely, definitely. So is there, like, a specific message that you wanted your readers to grasp when reading your book?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's on the very last page of the book, and it says, I just want you to know that if I could get through my life, then you can get through yours.
Nice.
And we're all in this together.
Nice.
And that's exact, because, I mean, I once had a shrink say to me, why you're not in an institution making belts is beyond me. He said, you should be, with your history and your family and your parents, what they've done to you, you should be not able to stand. And
wow.
He said, you're a survivor. And so, you know, it's like when the mudslide happened, there was a period of when I was in shock, you know, because there was like a grieving period because I lost all, it was like my entire career was wiped out. It was like God was saying, this is not important. You know,
right.
The career is not important. There are other things that are important. And Tom Dreesen once told me, take lemons and make lemonade.
There you go.
And so that's what I tried to do. So I rebuilt the house because I had flood insurance we rebuilt the house and it was better than it was before. And I tried to find the best in everything.
Wow. I mean, your story is awesome. I mean, it can really inspire a lot of the artists that are out here, whether they're comedians. I have a lot of friends who's going to listen to this that are comedians that are out there that are struggling, going through the real life, you know. So this is really going to really influence them a lot. And, you know, we all thank you
good.
For that, being an artist, because I'm an artist too. So I'm not a funny comedian or anything just yet, but I'm working on that too. So let me ask, how much of the book is realistic?
100% of the book is absolutely verbatim from my life, true.
Wow.
The whole story about going to Paris and losing my tooth and trying to find it. Did you read that one? Did
yes,
you
got that far, yep.
Yeah. That's all 100, with the maid and being thrown out of Versa, all true. Taking my mother to Australia, all true.
Wow.
That particular story is like infamous amongst my friends, because whenever we're in a group and there's somebody new, somebody will say, Steve, tell so-and-so about taking your mother to Australia. And then I tell this story and everyone laughs, even though they've heard it 35 times, because it's such an ironic, you know, it's such,
yeah,
no one could believe that this could actually happen.
Well, a few stories I read already, I was like, you know, I have to ask if this is realistic or did he just exaggerate some of this?
No. It's real. No, there are jokes. You know, there are
jokes.
in the dialogue, because I talk in jokes.
You know what
I mean? That I think in jokes. So as I'm writing, the jokes just come out.
It makes it an easy read. It makes you want to kind of get to the next page and see, what is he talking about next? I mean,
yeah.
So it's a good read. So have you had, I mean, what books, what actually influenced, I know you were influenced to write this book, but is there any books that you've already read that influenced you, mostly in your life?
This is going to surprise you. Are you ready?
Yes.
I am severely dyslexic. And reading is extremely hard for me. As a matter of fact, the book sat in my drawer for 3 years because I couldn't proofread it. I couldn't get myself to sit down and read the 311 pages. And finally, I just said, what the hell with it, and I just published it. And I realized when I published it that there were no page numbers, and then I realized there were like 500 spelling errors. And as people were reading it, they'd say, you know, there's an error, and I would correct it. So I don't read as much as I miss reading. I can't do it. I learn everything visually, and that means I sit in front of the television and watch the Discovery Channel and the PBS and the Science Channel and all those channels, and everything I learn by by watching, because when I was in college, I had a problem of listening to the professor and writing the notes. And then one year I just gave up. I said, I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it.
Wow.
And I just sat there and listened to the professor without writing notes.
Hmm.
Well, came final time, I remembered everything.
Wow.
I retained everything. But when I was trying to write and listen, doing two things at once, I couldn't do it. So I've trained myself, you know, like when I would get on a TV show and I'd have a secretary or an assistant, I'd say to her, look, I'm severely dyslexic, and this is going to be your job. You're going to have to catch my mistakes because I can't.
Right.
It's not
right.
that I'm lazy. It's not like I was told as a child. It's not that I'm lazy. It's not that I'm stupid, as I was told as a child.
Right.
But what I am is learning impaired, and you're going to have to help me. And I've just learned to, you know, to be honest about it and tell people, and people understand. You know,
yeah.
Let's say I'm talking to tech support, and they're talking to me, and they say, open the back of the computer and do X, Y, and Z. And what I hear in my head is, open the back of the computer and...
And ironically enough there, that's what I do for a living.
What, tech support?
You would drive me insane. I work for Comcast. And if your cable ever goes down, don't call us.
I'll tell you what drives me insane. When you call tech support and you hear, oh, no, thank you, my name is Todd, and I will be helping you today. What is the problem with your computer? Where are you, Todd? Oh, I am in Chicago. Yeah, and I'm in Beirut. Right.
Right. Exactly. Well, see, now if you call Comcast, you only get me. So.
Yeah, that's
great. Most people, I did get a review back recently, and the lady said, we have a language barrier. And I'm like, wow. Was I using my accent when I spoke to her? Like, I'm like, okay.
I don't know, girl. I can understand you fine. I can understand you fine.
I tell you. I said it was a good review. My supervisor thought it was hilarious. And he's like, hey, no accents today. And I'm like, all right, I'll keep it clean. So, is there any, like, entities, companies, just outside of your family that really supported you, really pushed you to move forward with writing?
Well, you know, yes, there is absolutely, with writing, there absolutely was. There is a writer's workshop in Los Angeles called Carol Mora's Pat on the Back Workshop. And Carol Mora is married to Buddy Mora. Now, Buddy Mora is Robin Williams and Billy Crystal and Robert Klein, their manager. So they are heavily entrenched in the comedy scene. And Carol runs this writer's workshop. And she said to me, is there anything you've ever wanted to write? And I said, well, I have this idea for a play, but I'm really not smart enough to write it. And I just, you know, and she said, oh, you're probably right. You're probably not smart enough to write it. But what I want you to do is I want you to go home, and I want you to write one scene. So I said to myself, well, I can write one scene, sure. So I went home, I wrote one scene. She says, okay, now write the next scene. So I wrote the next scene. Well, she did this until finally I had a full act. And once I saw that I had a full act, I had self-confidence and I could write the rest of the play. That play was Rest in Pieces, and that was the play that was optioned for Broadway. Yeah, and so I have been in that class now 10 or 15 years. I go every Wednesday, and Carol will give me an assignment to write. So about a year ago, she gave me an assignment about the fight. Okay, so I wrote this play called How to Kill Your Mother Without Really Trying, comedy by a resentful son, Part 1A. That was the title, and it was Nina, it was the funniest thing I have ever written in my life. And I threw it away. You know, I mean, I just, it was like this thing. I brought it into class. We bring in actors and they act. The people were convulsing. They were laughing so hard. So I did a couple of staged readings here in town because I figured, well, maybe I got something here.
Right.
They got standing ovations, the reading. So now we're looking for a theater here in L.A. to do a production of it, and I'm hoping there's a theater in Beverly Hills that's interested and one in the NoHo section of Los Angeles that's also interested. So I'm hoping that happens.
Oh, it definitely will for you. We'll keep our fingers crossed on this side and keep everything
I know
prayer,
you will.
That's
I know
awesome.
You will.
Especially when I come out to L.A., I can come check everybody out because I'm coming out, definitely.
When you come out, you let me know, and we'll have lunch or something.
Definitely, definitely. So if you had to do it all over again.
Right.
If we're going to just start, I mean, you've done so much. But if you had to do it all over again, what would you change?
Well, let's see. You know, that's a wonderful question. When I first started into show business, you know, I was a buyer for the May Company, an assistant buyer, and I got fired from the job, and I decided, well, what the hell, I'm just going to do it, and I got into doing stand-up. But obviously in the beginning you're not successful and you can't support yourself, so you have to take a job.
Right.
I took a job with Alan Landsberg Productions as a messenger. I mean, that's how far back it was. I was their messenger. And Alan said to me, Steve, learn, watch and learn. And I was, they got me into the union. They gave me scripts to read. I became a script reader for them and discovered quite a few people. And I was on my way up, but my ego at that point wanted to be a star, quote unquote. So I left to go on the road. You know, I left. And if I had stayed with them, I probably would have had a very wonderful life as a producer in town here. And it's a regret, but it's not a regret because,
right.
You know, I regret not being with those people who are still friends to this day. And I had wonderful experiences on the road. I also had horrific experiences on the road. I mean,
I'm sure.
You know, with opening acts that, you know, you weren't sure you're going to end up alive in the morning because they were they were alcoholics, and oh my God, you have no idea what it's like on the road.
I grew up on a road. I grew up on a road actually, from 13 to 17. So I had musician parents.
Oh
and,
no,
yeah.
Really? Oh no.
From London to Pennsylvania. That's a stretch.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yes. I can imagine. We were probably one of your open acts.
You're in the hotel all the time, then you go home and you go, oh, my God, look at how big the soap is. What?
Right.
Look, you mean towels come in colors? Oh, my God. You know.
Yes, you do appreciate home. I think that's why I'm a homebody now. I really like
being
home.
Yeah, I am such a homebody. It's, as a matter of fact, it's a standing joke with my friends. Because, you know, all my friends are in shows and stuff, and they invite me, and I don't go because I don't leave the house. And I posted on Facebook that Bank of America, you can now deposit checks from your iPhone at home. And I said, I never have to leave the house again.
You know what? And that's so bad because it's like you could do everything. I actually grocery shopped online, and I said, you know what? You're just lazy. Just get up and go. I had to force myself. But the groceries were better when they delivered them for some reason.
Well,
I'm definitely,
you know,
have to get to work.
I tried. I did. I tried that. But with my dyslexia, having to go through all those lists of foods, it was like, oh, just shove a pencil in my eye. So it's in that case, it's easier to go out, you know, like a hunter-gatherer. I go to Ralph's and I get my food.
Oh, wow. So is there anything that you're finding, like, challenging now when you're trying to write, or you're writing a play or a script, or you're just writing, starting a new book?
I have to have complete silence. complete silence. And so I lock myself in the office, and the only time that I write now is at like 5 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning when it's completely quiet, there's no distractions. Now, I also write, I'm a contributing writer on the comic strip Shoe, S-H-O-E, Shoe. Okay. And I have to submit 7 gags a day. So I get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and I write those 7 gags a day and send them in. And then I'll, like today, I don't know if you know who Pat Proft is, but Pat Proft was one of my friends who started with me at the Comedy Store, and he went on to write movies like Airplane and Top Gun and Hot Shots and Police Academy and all those Zucker comedy films were written by Pat Proft. Well, Pat read the book and said, "Steve, I love this book so much." He said, "It's a movie. We have to write it." So Pat and I are writing it. I just got off the phone. I just got off the phone with him. Saying, he said, "Now here's what we should need to do tomorrow." I said, "Look, I can't write until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning." And surprisingly enough, he said, "That's so funny because I can't write till 2 o'clock tonight." You know, can't.
Wow.
So that's the answer to that question.
Wow. So do you? Well, I know you said you're home a lot, but do you travel any at this time to promote the book or anything?
Well, I've been doing book readings, which have been an absolute hoot for me.
Nice.
I just went in Boston, and 100 people showed up. I was blown away. Not only was I blown away, but as I was reading, people were laughing, and it's like, I know if you don't understand, if you're not a comedian, you don't understand this, but it was so strange for me. That I could be standing reading a book and have people laughing at what I was reading.
Right.
But I went to Emerson College, and I was taught at Emerson oral interpretation. So as I'm reading, I'm able to interpret it like a story, like telling a story.
Right.
So
right.
I guess people get into it like it's a performance. So I do that, and once a year I will go on a cruise, and I don't even believe I just said those words out of my mouth because I was never a person who would want to go with the masses someplace.
Right.
But after the earthquake, it was so traumatic, and it was 6 months of hell. It was reconstruction. It was, you know, living with furniture piled up to the ceiling and mud up to my knees, literally up to my knees, and people coming in to dry out the house. It was hell. I turned to a friend and I said, "When this house is done, I'm going on a vacation. I have earned it." And the very next day, I got a postcard from Crystal Cruise Lines that said, "We're having a sale." Well, my little Jewish genes went out of their minds. A cruise on sale? So I don't know who Crystal Cruise Lines was. I had never heard of them. I didn't know. All I know is I wanted to get out of L.A. So I went on this cruise. I had the best time I have ever had in my life.
Nice.
You know, you go to sleep in France, you wake up in Spain. It's unbelievable.
Like, wow.
You know, I went to Turkey. I went to Greece. I saw the Acropolis. I went to St. Petersburg in Russia and Oslo, and I went through the Panama Canal. I've just had the best time, and so I'll go once a year. You know, I'll go on a cruise and see something that I haven't seen before. That's my goal, is to see something I haven't seen before.
Well, that's relaxing. That's something good to do. Definitely something to do.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Get you out the house.
Gets me way out of the house.
Exactly.
Even in the book, it says in the foreword that I was on a cruise when I wrote the book, and that's the truth. I had brought my computer with me on the trip, and I was taking all my notes and combining them into the book that you have in front of you today.
Wow.
That's when I did it, because it was 2 weeks, and it was, I was alone and it was quiet. I would sit on the balcony of my room and I would just write and get it all out there.
Nice. Now I have to ask, I mean, I looked at the cover and I said, okay, this is very basic. Who came up with the design of the cover?
You're talking to him right here.
Nice.
I wanted it to be as simple as possible, and I thought the name was so unique that it should pop off the page. So I took a plain white page and dark brown letters, and that's all you see is the title. And people are telling me that they'll have the book and they'll be reading it, and someone will be across from them and saying, "What is that book about?" Because the letters are so, is so big.
And it is, and that's one of the things that I've seen on it. I was like, wow, this is interesting. Just the whole, a lot of people are going with a lot of designs and colors, and yours just kind of popped out, and it was like,
right,
oh.
It's brown and white, and, it's available if they want to buy a hardcover, a real book,
right,
or a paperback. They go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, or if they have a Kindle, they go to amazon.com or kindle.com, or if they have a Nook, they go to barnesandnoble.com, and they can, download them for, it's like $8.99 or something.
Good, yeah, because all of that information is definitely posted on the website, so it's industriesradio.com. Everything's there with all your links, too. So everyone that listened to the interview, they're going to say, hey, Nina, where do I find that? And I can definitely point them there so they can grab that book. And, of course,
great.
My daughter and her friends, maybe they'll make it a class read. I'm pretty interested.
I would love that. Listen, I'll come into Philadelphia. I'll come into Philadelphia and talk if
I will
do.
Definitely. And it's quite interesting just from your travels to being a comedian and your family life that the kids are, they're reading something that's, something that's grabbing their attention. Because when you're dealing with teenagers, everything is out of the window. They can care
less. Really. And you know what else is funny? I said, somebody else asked me, well, who would you recommend this book to? And I say, oh, I'd recommend it to anyone who wants to read a book with four-letter words on every page.
And you know what, though? They love it. I mean, I'm looking at her read the book, and you give it to a kid who hates to read.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, she's not going to read it. And I'm like, hey, check this out for me. And she checks it out, and she never gives it back. And I'm like, hey, did you get lost with my book there? And she's like, no, it's really good. I just want to continue to read it. And my girlfriend wants to download a copy. And I'm like, nice.
Nice.
Okay, well,
just
turn it into something.
Here's the deal. Just don't let her give it out, because if those kids get it, it'll go, everybody will get it for free.
Oh, no, they're downloading it.
And daddy needs a new pair of shoes here.
I know, that's right. Absolutely not.
I am not doing this for my health, if you know what I mean.
Look, and I know. I'm still selling CDs out of my trunk. What are you talking about?
God almighty, I never thought. Listen, this Boston Reading, they wanted me to bring like 50 books. Well, do you know how much 50 books weigh? It's like 200 pounds. So I had to ship them to Boston, and so they would be there because, if I took it on the plane, it would be another $25.
Right.
So when I got to Boston, I talked to the people. I looked at the people, and I said, now listen. You people have got to buy these books because I am not taking them back to L.A. on the plane. You have to buy them. And I'll be goddamned if we didn't sell everything but six books.
Wow.
And I was blown away. And people were so nice. Everybody asked for an autograph. I'm not used to that.
You're
so
humble. You are humble.
I try.
That's awesome. So, Steve, did you learn anything from writing your book, just from the experience itself? What did you learn? What did you get out of
it? Well, I learned that I say this in the book, I learned that I am a writer. I started the book by saying, I don't know if I'm a writer.
Right.
I don't know if you'll read this book and think it's any good. I don't know. And by the end of the book, I realized that I am a writer. It's what I do. And I always thought that I would be a comedian, a verbal communicator.
Right.
I never thought I would be a communicator via the written word.
Right.
And I find that I love that so much more, that I'm able to express myself so much easier with the written word, because when you're standing on stage and you're saying it, I have this fear of rejection, you know, that at any moment that I'll be rejected by the audience.
Right.
But when you put it on the page and you send it out, it kind of makes you fearless because you don't see the reaction. Now,
people may
not like the book, but I don't see that. But what I do see are all the people who do like it because they contact me. No one's going to call me and say, "Oh, this book really eats
right.
it."
Right.
You know, but I hear the good reply, and so I've learned. If you ask me what I learned that I'm a writer.
Nice. So, do you have any advice for other writers?
Yes. My advice is you must write every day. It's a muscle. It has to be exercised. You have to write every day, and you have to join some kind of workshop where you are supported. Now, there's a lot of workshops where they take glee in saying, "Well, that's horrible." That's if you ever get into a workshop like that, leave immediately, because that's not how you nurture a talent. You nurture a talent by pointing out the good that they've done, and then gently nudging them into correcting the mistakes that they've made. That's what Carol does. And
nice.
Everybody needs to get into a workshop who wants to be a writer.
Nice. Now, that's good information out there for the listeners. I mean, I have a few other up-and-coming artists and authors as well who will be coming on the show, actually probably next week, and that's great advice for them because you are, like, very, very experienced. So I did, you know, reach out to them and say, "Hey, check out this guy. He's coming on. You can get a lot of information out of him." So we're sucking you dry here.
Oh, no.
You know,
no.
And it's awesome, though. I do appreciate it because it's really a struggle for some people who just started writing, like me. I only got to page one of my book.
Well, you know, all you have to do is write a page a day, and in 1 year you have 365 pages.
Interesting.
You know, if you look at a book like "How Can I Ever Get to the End," you'll never get to the next page.
Right.
What you have to do is get to the next page. So
right.
you just write. I mean, my goal when I was writing was 10 pages a day. And so I would do that, and then, you know, in a month I had 300 pages.
Wow. And I want to start that. I'm going to take your advice, and you're going to be my mentor. So when I get interview, I can shout you out.
Well, I have to tell you, I've done a lot of radio shows, and I've been interviewed a lot, and you are a joy to talk to. It's like you and I have never met, but it's like we're old friends. It's like
I know.
there's some people just have that ease of chat, and your questions are smart, and it's really great. I mean, there's one guy who interviewed me, and you know, he would ask a question, I would answer it, and there'd be like this 10-minute pause where I'm wondering, did he commit suicide while I was talking? You know?
Did he get it? Is he registering?
Did he get it? And you laugh and you make the person who you're talking to feel comfortable, which is a gift. It's really a gift.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, it's definitely a pleasure to talk to you. I mean, you're easy to talk to. You're like my second right now. Because I'm not paying you, so you know, don't think you're gonna get a check out of this. That's my comedy coming out. See, I have it in me. It's deep down inside, though.
Everybody's a comedian.
So, Steve, do you have anything specific that you wanted to say to your readers out there?
Yes. Buy the book right now. What are you waiting for?
Awesome. We're going to push that. Nina Capone is behind you. I'm definitely going to stand behind you and push the book. I love the book so far, you know, and I'm going to get through it. I'm definitely going to get through it.
All right.
You know, and I'm going to give you some feedback. I'm going to go to your Facebook page, so you'll see Industries Radio join your page soon. And
yeah, anybody can join my page. I went to a different. If Hitler asked to be my friend on Facebook, I'd say, sure, come on. What do I? So I don't limit the number of people who can be my my friend. And everybody who has to be a friend is a friend. They're not like on some kind of governed friendship where they only get so much stuff. They get everything from me.
Nice, nice, nice. And so you're like me as an artist. That's how I am. I'm just so friendly. I jump off the stage. My security looks at me like I'm crazy. Like, you know, you can't do that. I'm
yeah,
like, I
right.
love people.
Well, I don't know about loving people. I've met some pretty rotten ones.
I like those better than the others sometimes. I like personality. Those, you know, those hard to deal with people. But, you know, I'm a psychology major, so I think that's my challenge.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you get out there, you deal with the people who claim to hate the world, and, you know, you can turn them around and make them smile.
Turn them around, yeah. Well, stop yeah. working on some Republicans, will you?
That's my lifetime goal, yeah. I'm going to start there.
We'll all right,
see what
good.
Happens. Then you'll all get right. 10 books out of me.
Good we'll luck.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you this evening.
Yes.
Is there
it has been a pleasure
you
speaking
with
mention?
You. I do have everything up on the web. That's going to remain up there for another month.
Yeah,
and
all right.
So we're going to keep everything up and keep pushing people your way. Hopefully we'll get the schools to pick it up here. I'm a big part of a bunch of different organizations here. And I will keep your name just rolling off my tongue there because
well,
I think you are awesome.
Well, thank you so much. I love doing book readings and I love doing book clubs. So if people want me to come, as long as you got people, I'll be there. And
nice.
Like again, I said, the book's available on Lulu.com, on Amazon.com, and on BarnesandNoble.com. And the title is "It's So Hard to Type with a Gun in My Mouth."
Awesome, awesome. And I will be getting to that hopefully by the end of this week and getting that knocked out myself. And
all
again,
right.
I want to thank you. You enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm going to play
you
a few
too.
Slow jams here.
I wish you could see the smile on my face right now. You're just
you
a joy.
Awesome. Well, I will follow up with you by email once in a while just
okay.
to check on you and definitely
we'll
give you
friends.
Feedback on the book. Oh, and we definitely will be friends. And I'll be coming
okay.
to LA. My best friend's out there, and he
mm-hmm.
does play. So maybe we can slide you some tickets and bring you out as well.
What's his name?
His name is Ron Young. You can actually check him out on Facebook as well. He just did like
oh,
a.
I think I know Ron Young.
You probably.
I think I do.
He's awesome.
Is he awesome?
Oh, yeah. He does like everything.
Oh, cool. Well, have a good night.
You do the same. Thanks again. And
all right. Give my
I'll
love to your daughter.
Definitely.
All right.
Oh, definitely.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
It's your girl, Nina Capone. You're still here if you were tuned in. That was the one and only Steve Bluestein. Yo, that man is phenomenal. He's been on, you heard him. He's a writer, I mean, a comedian, author. I mean, he's done so much stuff. I have all of his information. He's the author of It's So Hard to Type with a Gun in My Mouth. Make sure you go to industriesradio.com. Find his link, support this man. He is awesome. You want more information, I will definitely make sure you get that. His Facebook, everything, check him out. It's all about support, not just here in the Philly area. No, no, no. All over the world, this is what we do, Industries Radio. Your girl, the one and only Nina Capone. You already know how we do this. We're about to end the show. Shout outs to everybody that tuned in. Shout out to everybody that stopped and downloaded. I was going to play a little bit of music, but I think I'm not going to do that. I think we're going to end the show so Steve can grab this and his listeners can grab this and have it nice and clean. No music, no edits on it. Do what they want to do. But it looks like I got a caller on the line. I am going to bring the caller in and check out what they got to say. So let's do that before we get off because we got about 15 minutes. Hello, hello.
Yo, what's going on, Lady Capone?
How you doing? How you doing?
How you doing? What's going on? This your boy, Jay Bay. What's good with you?
Jay Bay. Did you hear the interview with the office?
Yes, I actually did. Yo, he was hilarious. I actually am going to pick up a copy of that book because, you know, we read over here.
You are going, and Jay, you, I know you, so when I say you are going to crack up, you are not going to be able to put the book down. It's really hilarious. I mean, you can check out some of his stand-up and everything. I think I have everything posted right on the site on Industries Radio. So check
right.
him out. Yo, he is hilarious. He's been on everything. I mean, Comedy
right.
Central, you name it.
He
he's hilarious.
Like, he sound like he's funny.
down to earth. I mean, you know,
right.
Called in, we chilled, we talked for damn near
right.
an hour. So that was awesome. So definitely supporting,
right.
checking out. You know, I don't stand behind just anybody, but I do stand behind everybody. So
right, right.
So what's up with you, Mr. J. Bay?
Man, you know, everything's good, man. You know, I'm tuning in the streets radio because I'm really in the streets, and I'm just checking out the radio while I listen to in the streets radio. And in addition, I do got a casting call coming up at Park Ave. You know what I mean?
Okay.
For all my ladies, you know, they can come on through 18 or older. Park Ave, what's the name of it? It's called
Park Ave Banquet Hall?
Park Club Park Ave, yeah. Club Park Ave. It's 4952 Parkside Avenue.
Okay.
It will be Friday, 7 p.m. So, ladies, come out. You know, it's a casting call. You know, we doing a lot of different things over here at J Bay Music Group. So, you know what I'm saying? So, we will definitely be looking for actresses, and we got, you know, something going on with Hennessy, something going on with 1800, you know, a whole bunch of other people. You know what I mean? So,
nice,
we definitely
nice.
Be looking for some things going on. Yep.
Can Nina Capone come out? I'm 18.
Oh, man, Nina Capone is already there. What are you talking about?
She
is already there. And she wear her all-in t-shirt.
Oh, I'm glad I know that. Mm-hmm.
Right. So make sure, you know what I mean, everybody come check us out. You know what I'm saying? It's real good. It's free food, you know, things of that nature
oh,
will be
free food.
In the building.
Y'all heard that? Free
right,
food
right.
will be in the building. They like, what's the address
free.
Again? You know, you say free
Yo,
food, you got
the
address
once again is 4952 Parkside Avenue. That's Friday the 14th at 7 p.m. Yo, I don't know how many applicants we are taking, so you get there early, first come, first serve.
I'm all in. Just like my
or
like,
you're in the way. Or
in.
You're in the way. Or you're in the way. Either one.
Yeah,
hey, definitely, though. But, you know, we always, over at J Bay Music, we always checking out In the Streets Radio. Like, that's just what we do. You
that's
know what
love.
I mean?
Don't you got a show coming up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, wait, the same night. I got a show the 14th, the same night. I got the same night as the casting call. There's a show at the Cave. That's on Belleville Avenue. Hold on, let me get you that direct address. I'll be performing there, you know what I'm saying, with the unit, the 215 unit. My man putting that together, you know, tired of these little, you know, these janky promoters, you know, they take underground artists and make them do all kinds of things, pay to perform.
Yeah.
I've heard of people paying to perform. I heard
yeah.
of people doing all kinds of nonsense. I mean, I've never done it, but I've heard of people definitely paying to perform. Now, on this show, they got Miss Feisty, J. Bro, All Purpose,
Leaf Bucks.
We got Leaf Bucks, right. We got Fess, we got Mimo the Don, Nobby, Michelli, or whatever. That's
Beyond
at the Cave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Listen, I went to public school. I can't read that well. I can't read that well. You know what I mean? I can read. I can't spell. I can count that money, though. We're going to be at the Cave. We're going to be tearing it down. That's at 364 East Penn Street on Belleville Avenue. And that started at 8:30 to 2 a.m. The casting call, so if you smooth enough, let me see how much grind you got in you. You know, if you smooth enough, you can hit both entities. You know what I mean? We will definitely be at Parks Ave. Definitely will be at Park Ave 7 o'clock. So any models, actresses, this the casting call that we're calling for, it really requires actresses as well as just models. Like, you just can't look good. We're not looking for the shaky booty girl. If that's who you are, I mean, you can come out too. But
darn.
That's not what we're looking for with this video. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Pure talent,
real talent, right. We're looking for actresses because there's movies coming up. There's a lot of different things coming up that, you know, the Philly, you know, I'm reaching out to the tri-state area, Philly, Delaware, and Jersey. So we right there, you know what I mean? We right there for y'all. This is for y'all. It ain't for me because I can get all the stuff I want, but this for y'all. So definitely come check us out, 4952 Parkside Avenue. That's at 7 p.m. Then once you get there, you know, J. Bay, you know, he Mr. Grindheart. He going right from there, right to the show. I'm sorry, at 364 East Penn Street on Belleville Avenue. You know what I mean? At the Cave. So y'all definitely come out. Union 215 will definitely be in the building. Y'all, shout out to my man. Shout out to Nina Capone. Shout out to Montana Black. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody making this thing happen, man. You know, we out here trying to get it, you know. And I mean, well, we ain't trying. We getting it. I don't know what they doing. But
I'm all in. That's my new saying.
Well,
I'm
you
just
in the
all
way.
In.
Well, you in the
all
way.
That's all that matters.
If you ain't all in, you all in the way. All you know, that's way. Just how that goes. But definitely, Nina Capone. Oh, shout out to my man, Chingo the Great, too. I definitely get at me, cuz. You know the number. But, yeah, hey. Definitely. We definitely here, though. You know what I mean? Union 215 will be in the building. We will be doing this. It's actually two shows. This show, the 14th, and then there's another show the following week. So you know what I mean. You come out, it'll be an extravaganza, man. You know, extravaganza.
And that's what it's about. It's about the artist understanding their, you know, and understanding your worth as an artist. And
right.
I ain't going to go heavy
right,
into it, but it's been a movement of mine, as, you know, as Jay Bay already know. And most of my listeners
I'm
know.
All in.
This is what we do. We try to make it so artists understand their worth. Like, don't be used out here. Don't get yourself all frustrated. Because right now, I'm seeing a lot of angry-ass rappers. Like, why are you angry? Don't be angry. You know what I mean? Stop letting people take advantage of you. And that's, you know, we always have a conversation, Jay Bay, but, you know, it is what it
is.
Right,
and
but,
another thing is, I understand, like, one thing for certain, two things for sure. If you don't believe in yourself, ain't nobody else going to believe in you. And if you don't invest in yourself, nobody else will invest in you. But some of these promoters are getting away with, like what kills me is that, like, I run a studio. Everybody know I run a recording studio, Corner Office Studios. What happens is that you find rappers, they'll pay to perform. They'll pay a promoter to perform at a show, but they don't even want to pay for studio time. Like,
right.
That just don't make no sense. Like, I know us as rappers, we have a lot of different expenses. Like, and you to get me to perform at your show, like I mean, you know, I ain't saying I'm Lil Wayne or nobody, but, you know, if I'm performing somewhere, it's at least, and then, you know, I bring them out. You know,
at least
I'm going to have 50, 60 people in your venue just there just because I said so. Not because they coming with me, just because I say so.
And
you know,
as a promoter myself, I can say that his people will pay. There's nobody trying to get in free or trying to say, hey, I'm with Jay Bay. Okay.
Right,
they say,
right.
I'm with
no,
Jay
they
Bay.
Come,
here's
they paying.
Ticket.
They like, oh, how much is it? We all in. You know what I mean?
Right,
and like, team all in, you know, we bring them out. So my only thing is with these promoters, I'm bringing you 50 people, 60 people. If you're charging $10 a head, that's $600 you just put in your pocket. You couldn't pay me nothing?
Right.
Nothing?
$60, $100, something.
When I come through a venue, this is note to all artists, yo, because in conjunction with Union 215, I will be throwing events and showcases. When you perform, just as a professional courtesy to whoever's throwing the venue, yo, don't expect to get 10, 15 people in free. Just you, the people that's on stage with you. Like, when I come with people on stage, which is two people, and a cameraman. That's it, and myself. Everybody else is with me pays. Everybody. You know what I mean? So just a little heads up to these artists out here to think that they need 50 and 60 people on stage with them. If you got 50 and 60 people on stage with you, nobody in the crowd knows your song. Who's going to sing along with you besides the people on the stage?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But definitely, man. I'm getting ready to get up out of here, though. But one thing, make sure y'all come out, you know what I'm saying, 4952 Parkside Avenue for the casting call, all models and actresses. I don't want no dudes come up there with taking their shirt off, talking about, can I be in the video? Nah, we ain't on that time. you know what I'm saying, all my ladies in the tri-state area, y'all make sure y'all come out and support. And then after y'all finish doing that, shoot right on over to the Cave, yo, and come check your boy do his thing on stage. And really support all the artists that will be up there. Everybody name who I just messed up. Make sure that you come out to support them as well. You know what I'm saying? Nina Capone will definitely be in the building.
No doubt.
She will definitely be at the Cave. So y'all make sure y'all come out, man. You know, everything looking real good. Everything is great. You know what I mean? We over here HD, you know what I'm saying? Pay-per-view, you know what I'm talking about?
All day. Well, that's my cue. Jay Bay took us all the way to 7:59. That's why I love him. 10 seconds remaining. I'm about to be up out of here. One thing, everybody that's tuning in, that's listening to me at all times, may not be tonight, may not be tomorrow, whatever. I appreciate all the love and support. And Jay, I holler at you on the other side. I'm about to get my hair all done up so, you know, I can be all up in the video and everything, my shirt on. You know how I do. It's your girl, Nina Capone. Thanks again. I'm out of here. Holler at me. Check out the site, www.inthestreetsradio.com. You already know.